morning. I'm Vanessa Lowry, your guest host for this edition of Right Here, Right Now, a weekly internet radio show in which we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they've written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He's a vital cog in the Business Radio X and his own show, High Velocity Radio, as well as serving as co-host on many other broadcasts. Good morning, Stone.
Well, good morning. I like that, vital cog. I'm going to add that to my bio.
I know. I think that's good. I think that's good. You know, can you believe it's only 3 weeks into this show and the regular host, Dr. Tim Morrison, is already taking a break?
Yeah, that's an interesting sign there. You think that's going to happen a lot?
You know, he's a busy guy, and he's got lots of things on his plate. He's actually on his way to his hometown of Greenville, Pennsylvania, where he's going to be speaking to a high school creative writing class, to a retirement community on writing their life stories, and he's also going to be meeting with some Vietnam vets to hear their memories and stories of that war. So he's got a lot of stuff that's going to be cool going on for him this week.
What a neat project. That's
yeah.
Cool. We're going to learn a lot from that. Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to hear him talk about that next week when he's on the show. But today we've got two guests that I'm so excited to interview, and they each have their own business. They're each an author, and they're married to each other. So So welcome to Richard and Robin Kirby. The format of the show is that we're going to interview each of the guests individually, and then we're going to open the mics for all of us to talk together. So I'm going to invoke the ladies' first protocol and interview Robin to start the show. Dr. Robin Kirby holds a master's degree in education and a PhD in clinical psychology. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, an educator, and she also does a lot of coaching with folks. Her company is Loving Impact, and Robin and I, along with Carolyn Buttram, co-authored 30 Days of Gratitude. So welcome to the show, Robin.
Hey, Vanessa.
So our focus today is going to be on the stresses and the joys of writing. So just curious about what the writing process was like for you, especially given your background in psychology and counseling.
Well, I think the writing process for 30 Days of Gratitude was a unique writing process because it was a collaboration, not only between three people who had this urge to write a book, but between three people who are close friends. And it was really, for you who haven't heard about it before, was Vanessa's brainchild. We were having coffee one morning, and Vanessa said, you know, I think I need to get more grateful. Why don't we write a book together?
I know, and it's so fun to have friends like you and Carolyn that just jump right in and say, yeah, let's do that.
So there's a local bagel shop we've been meeting at for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we came together for the purpose one day of writing this book and decided that we wanted it to be exercises, one exercise a day for 30 days. And at the end of the meeting, we were to go away, come up with 10 exercises apiece, I think 15 exercises apiece.
I do think that's what we had put out there.
And with the thought of coming back together the next week and sharing those and culling them down, and coming up with 30. And so what it ended up being is that some of us did 10, some of us did 19, whatever it was, ended up to be, with a few duplications, exactly 30 exercises. We didn't have to cull. We just had to not duplicate. And that's how we came up with 30 days. And after that, it was just a breeze. So I think our story is a little bit uncommon.
I think you're right. I think because we did actually complete that book in less than 30 days and have it launched on the website, but it was everything just completely aligned. We kept saying that throughout the whole process because I remember we were talking about we could delay it and we could launch it in January, but we really thought it'd be cool to launch at the end of October so it could be out for the month of Thanksgiving, talking about exercises about Thanksgiving.
Right. We started the project in October and launched it in time for 30 Days of Gratitude in November. So we spent a lot of time giggling. There was a lot of giggling in
yeah,
the process.
We did. Stone, do you hear that a lot when you interview folks?
You know
on
what?
The show?
That's a first for me, but I'm really interested in the collaborative process. Was there some kind of hierarchy? How did you make decisions about what to cut? If you disagreed, was someone the ultimate authority? What were the ground rules for the collaboration?
Go ahead, Robin. Take that.
We had nothing to cut. We actually had, at the end of that second meeting, 30 exercises.
Because I think we had one duplication, and we modified one just a little bit, and we actually had exactly 30 exercises.
And you liked what you saw, and you didn't say get together like two of you and say, well, that one she wrote, I don't know. Are you going to say something to her? Am I going to say? I mean, none of that came up.
It didn't go like that at all. In fact, what it was just the beautiful meshing of the best talents that the three of us brought to the table. I do, in my practice, I teach people how to think positively, and the basis for that in many cases is gratitude. So I had some ideas. I'd had some things that I had tried before. Carolyn is a beautiful photographer. She did the photography for the book. She did all the photography. Nice.
And she's been doing writing and speaking for years.
And then Vanessa, with her background in graphic design, put the book together and made it look beautiful. So it was just the perfect meshing of the best that we could bring.
And then Carolyn put together a website, which is daysofgratitude.com, but that it really was an easy flow. So I want to play on a comment that you just made about, you know, how it ties into the work that you do and the clients that you work with. How have you found that this book actually helps you in your practice?
Well, number one, I think just having a published book lends a little bit of credibility to any professional. That's not why I did the book. That had nothing to do with why the book sits there in my office. It sits there because I think it's great and we're proud of it. But I give it to many of my clients who come in who are depressed and focused on the things that they don't have in this life rather than all of the things that they do have. And most people who do enter therapy or into a coaching relationship with me come in the door not feeling great and want ways to feel better. And one way to feel better is by focusing on what you have rather than what you don't have.
So can you describe who you feel like the people that benefit from our book? I mean, I know you've just described that a little bit. Can you talk about who you think would benefit from reading 30 Days of Gratitude?
Well, I think anybody who's in the dumps at all, anybody who has any kind of a woe is me attitude can benefit by 30 Days of Gratitude. But I think something that we don't often talk about is that these exercises can be done in relationships. They can be done with friends and with families. And that's a vital piece that I find missing in many people's lives are ways to connect in spiritual almost ways with the people they care about and love. So this is a way to spend time focused on positive things with the people in your lives. And some of the exercises are specifically designed for families.
Do you want to describe one of the exercises that you think is particularly good to use in relationship, either with a spouse or a child or a family?
Well, with families and children, we have one that is a takeoff on the little paper chains that people make at holidays to decorate their homes. We suggest that maybe around a holiday table or a dinner table or a Sabbath table, a family might have strips of paper for everyone to write on and just write things for which they are grateful and make a chain, a gratitude chain, and add to the gratitude chain and then decorate the holiday table or the Sabbath table, or the dining room, or the Christmas tree, with the chains of gratitude rather than just decorative paper chains.
That's a cool idea. I like that.
There's another one that we do that's similar. It's called a tree of life, where a family might cut a branch off of a tree and then cut out paper leaves. And we actually have a leaf template in the book. So they may cut out paper leaves and then write things about what they're grateful for on the leaf and decorate the tree with leaves, with all different colors of leaves, and maybe help that be part of a centerpiece for a table. So
obviously, or apparently to me anyway, it's the activity that is helpful as much, if not more so, than the end product.
Exactly, because what I find now in families is that children have become so engrossed in these video games, which are really solo exercises, they're not engaging with their family members or even with their friends. They'll have friends over, they'll sit side by side, but staring straight ahead. This is a way to get people engaged like the good old days around the Monopoly board.
Well, and I also find that it's a great way to get people to focus on the smaller things that we tend to just look over. And so we just zip through life with things being so busy, but we kind of miss the roses by the roadside. You know, we kind of forget to stop and smell the roses. So it's a good reminder with some of these exercises to do those kind of things.
Absolutely. One of the exercises is just to sit in the room and look around, sit in a room in your home and just look around and count the material objects in the room. That'll keep you from feeling poor.
Yeah, that's right.
When you look around the room and you see how many little tiny things that you own that you enrich your life with, just counting them, hundreds of things in one room. I'm looking around this studio. There are a lot of little things in this studio.
Oh, yeah, we're loaded.
Loaded, absolutely loaded. Way to go.
So, Robin, how do people find you and how do they find the book? How do they get it? How do they get that?
Write this down. daysofgratitude.com. The book is available via free download at that website, or you can contact any one of the authors that, and you'll find their contact information on the website, and you can purchase a hard copy from any one of us.
Well, and I also want to mention that Robin also, as one of the gratitude girls, we call us the GGs, one of the gratitude girls, she kind of hosts our Facebook page that's Days of Gratitude, and she posts an inspirational quote every day. And so it's such a great way to start your day. She's up at the crack of dawn and posts a great quote. So anybody that's on Facebook, if you would just go to Days of Gratitude and like our page, then you'll get a great inspirational quote every morning to give your day a little boost when you get started.
And you'll also find their contact information for all of the authors.
That's right. And so, Robin, how do people find you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The name of my business is Loving Impact. My website is lovingimpact.com. And you can just Google Dr. Robin Kirby or Robin Kirby PhD Atlanta, and that's how you can find me.
You're unique. You pop up. Well, thank you so much, and we're going to talk to Richard for just a little bit, and then we're going to come back, and all of us are going to talk. So I'm excited about this whole conversation. So we're going to go to Richard. Richard Kirby is the founder of Executive Impact, Inc., a leading career coaching firm in Atlanta, Georgia. Richard is a certified personnel consultant and an executive career coach. He's worked with Fortune 100 companies and pre-IPO venture capital-funded startups. Richard's book is Fast Track Your Job Search and Career, How to Get Paid What You're Worth by Avoiding Common Career Roadblocks. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Thank you, Vanessa. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I know that this book's been out for a while and you're already in your second or third edition. How do you decide when to update your information?
I'm doing it annually.
Okay.
I'm doing that because I feel like there's always things changing, and so it's good to have the latest up-to-date information. And, you know, in the years ago, you know, you got a computer and it lasted 5 or 10 years, and eventually you got a new processor. Now new processors come out every 3 months or 6 months. You have to update your computers more often, and I think the business world's changing that often too.
So what's some of the information that you updated for this new edition that just came out in January?
Well, certainly I've added some things about LinkedIn and social media, predominantly LinkedIn, because that's probably the key business social media tool that I use and I think most people need to know more about. That's probably the number one thing.
So what was your motivation behind writing this book? I know your book was a longer process than the book that Robin and I worked on.
Yeah,
a lot.
I'm thinking, gee, I wish I could have gotten you three guys on my project.
I think maybe you just didn't
it wouldn't have taken me quite as much work.
So how long did it take you to write your book?
I would say from the very first starting, where I'm sitting in a car driving to a funeral, dictating into a cassette recorder, sitting on the seat next to me, to having a printed first edition book, was probably about a year.
Okay. Well, that's actually pretty quick for most people that write a book of the kind of substance that you have, I would think. So
yeah, it was a lot of digging and research, and maybe even 15 months, actually. That's probably a little more aggressive than how it actually happened. It didn't seem as long in hindsight as it did at the time.
Right. So what was your motivation behind writing this book?
Well, I'm in the career area, and for the first 4 or 5 years, I've been in it 9 years now, advising people about their careers and how to get better jobs. The first 3 or 4 years, I would go out and I'd speak to groups of people who were looking for new jobs or better jobs, and I would give them suggestions for books because I felt like in a half hour, an hour, I can't possibly tell them everything they need to know. I'm just giving them highlights and a few good nuggets. And so I would bring a stack of books, and I would basically, at the end of every presentation, I'd go through the stack of books, and I would have 5, 6, 7 books, and I'd kind of do picks and pans. Well, one of the pans I always had was What Color's Your Parachute? And the reason I particularly picked that one is because it is the most popular career book, and I think many times people are somewhat misled or not fully informed by you going out and buying the popular in vogue book like that. So how I came to really get motivated to write it was, you know, one day I realized it's sort of like, well, you know, Mr. Smarty Pants, you're here going out every time saying the world's most popular career book is not a book I would recommend, you know, let's see you do better. So it was sort of a personal challenge. Nobody came up to me in my meeting and said, you know, well, if you're so great, why don't you have a book? But I guess I challenged myself to that. That was where I got started.
So once the book has come out, have you seen a difference in the way people perceive your expertise?
I think if people have a chance to read the book, yes. But, you know, I'm not nationally distributed through a big publisher or anything. So I see that with individuals. Many times people come to me, they don't realize I have a book. They're not aware of the book. And so for those people, it really doesn't make a difference. But for the people who find out I have a book and who actually go read some of it, yeah, it's had a very good impact. People who read my book definitely more likely become my client because they've really understood how I think and what my strategic approach is.
Well, and I would think that that is one of the keys for writing a book, is so people can kind of get inside your head and the way that you work and decide whether they want to hire you or not.
Yeah, I agree. They do tell, you know, most people, if you're an entrepreneur or an independent consultant like I am, that, yeah, you really need to write a book. But the challenge is just to go write a book for the sake of that. I wasn't fully motivated to go do it just for the pragmatic purpose of being able to say, I have a book.
Right.
I really needed to be, you know, more personally challenged as to what I was trying to accomplish with it. What was the mission, so to speak?
So what is the description of the person that you think really benefits from reading your book, from buying your book and reading it?
Well, one subtle difference, but I think it is important, between my book and What Color's Your Parachute is I am really aiming at college-educated people. So not everybody in our society is college-educated. Maybe not everybody wants to read a book at the level of, I don't want to overemphasize it, but sophistication of how to navigate a $70,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 career. Maybe people just want to go to work and, you know, make a living and not get any more complicated than that with life. So the book is really written for typically people who are college educated and have some aspiration or motivation to really manage or change themselves and be more successful in their career.
Well, I know the last few years, so many people have been out of work that obviously they can benefit from your book, but I also know that you work with many people who are currently in a position but looking to make a move strategically to be in a different spot or to do something more in line with what they love. Can you talk a little bit about how that plays into the work that you do?
Yes. You know, the old proactive versus reactive. The reactive, you know, we've seen big changes in Home Depot, Bell South, a lot of Delta Airlines. You could name many of the big corporations in town and even small ones where there's been huge changes in workforce. And the reactive people, unfortunately, sit and kind of wait it out, and then they get to the end and they go, oh, my gosh, I got to do something about this. While I work with those people, and I'll help them as much as I possibly can, I love working with the more proactive people. And quick example, I recently worked with a guy who was an MBA in strategy from Stanford, which most people regard as a top 5 business school in the country in that area. And he worked with me for 6 or 8 months while he was currently employed, knowing that the company was going to go through some major upheavals and that he would have basically, as Heath viewed it, a chance to get out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So by starting early and finding something he liked better, it allowed him to, at the day when the sort of the company sort of downsizing and restructuring came, say, to raise his hand and say, I volunteer, give me that big hefty separation package. I'll go away and do something else. And he had the freedom basically to step right out of that job into his next job and take all those benefits that they were giving him to incent him to leave.
That's awesome. And is like 6 to 8 months kind of a time frame that people, if they wanted to be strategic about making a move, that would be kind of the amount of time that they should spend really positioning themselves in that?
Yes. For if you're employed today, first of all, you can't go out like an unemployed person and work 40 hours a week looking for a job. You may be working a 50-hour-a-week job, and now you got to do this in the background in addition. So it's definitely important that you start early because you don't have a tremendous amount of hours to devote or time or energy or focus to devote to it when you're working a full-time job, especially if it's a demanding job.
Yeah. And so how do you feel like the book has really impacted your business and the kind of clientele that you are attracting now?
Well, as you said earlier, I think certainly it's given some credibility to what I do, and certainly the people who read. One thing I do in addition to sharing this big, fat 300-page book is I do have PDFs of individual chapters, and I use that for promotional purposes, too. When I meet people, sometimes I'll send them a chapter, you know, the teaser, so to speak. So I guess that's the biggest way it's impacted my business is to give a little bit more credibility sooner by, as you said, people being able to get into my mind quicker and really understand how I think and how I do or what I suggest that they do differently.
Now, do you ever have to fire any of your clients or send them to your wife and get their mind right before you can really help them?
Well, getting your mind right, that's, I don't know if this was intentional, but that's sort of a segue into Robin, the fact that we share offices together. If you think of, people talk about work-life balance. Well, I really focus mainly on the work side, and she focuses primarily on the life side. And so if they have to get their mind right to answer your question, I mean, I got a PhD clinical psychologist here that's right across the hall from me, and most clients actually work with her.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I would think that would have a huge impact.
It will. Now, you ask if I ever fired a client. I mean, yeah, she can't help them, and they're really, you know, in a ditch and can't get out of the ditch. I mean, if a PhD psychologist can't get them out of the ditch, then occasionally you do have people in that situation.
Well, and I know that that's one of the points of difference between what you do as a executive career coach and what some other ones do is that you do actually have Robin to help people work through some of that emotional stuff around changing jobs or transitioning to a different job.
Yeah, people are, especially males, but females too, but especially males, sometimes it's pretty devastating when they lose their job, especially if it's not, you know, they didn't really have any say-so. They weren't able to dictate any of the terms. They were basically just kind of, as they say, proverbially given the pink slip. And so when there is a big emotional situation that occurs, it's very helpful for them to work through some of that with her.
Well, and Richard, how do people find out, how do people find your book? How would they buy your book? And
well, mine's a few more letters, but not a whole lot more letters than yourdaysofgratitude.com. It's fasttrackyourjobsearch.com. So it's literally the beginning of the name of the book, Fast Track Your Job Search, and just put .com behind that.
And I know that you've got a lot of information on that site as well as your business site. Can you tell people how to find out more about you and the coaching that you do?
Well, there is a link on the book site back to my main coaching site, but my company is Executive Impact. Robin's is Loving Impact. So Executive Impact, and you have to put a dash or hyphen between those two words for my website. So it's executive-impact.com.
Well, and they say it's all in the dash, so that in between.
If it is,
really
then that's good, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody beat me to the URL for executive impact. If you don't put the dash, you end up with some recruiting company up in New Jersey, I think it
which
is.
Which is not the famous Richard Kirby.
It's not me.
So, yeah,
by
that's
the
right.
way, Robin said if you Google whatever, I Googled myself the other day. I put in Richard Kirby. That's it. No Atlanta, no nothing. There was one Richard Kirby that was number one, and I was two and three. And then if you put Richard Kirby in quotes, I come up one and two on
great.
Google. And I've really done no search engine optimization, so I'm probably just put some search engine optimization people out of business with that comment.
But you do have a lot of things that are published and that are out
yeah.
there with your name. So that's really what helps raise your...
Well, and Katie
exactly.
barred the door now. So you've been on Vanessa's radio show. I
oh,
mean, it's not going to stop now.
I'll
it's going to fill the whole
I'll
page.
Have three or four hits on the first
right.
page now.
So now we want to kind of open the mics and have all of us talk and have some questions for both of you. So, you know, I'm just curious what it's like to be married to somebody that's writing a book.
I'm going to take that question.
Yeah, I think I was much more deeply buried into what I was doing than Robin was.
Well, yours was a much longer process,
yeah.
so that makes sense.
And Richard really, truthfully, didn't miss me much at 7 a.m.
That's right.
And I'm not sure he even knew I was gone, which we meet early in the morning.
We do, yeah.
And, so Richard often was either in his own meetings or meeting with the down pillow.
Yeah.
Living
my first choice at 7 a.m.
But living with Richard through the writing of the book was, I didn't have a lot of conversation with him after dinner. He'd get home from work and sit behind the computer and bang away all weekend and sometimes on holidays. He was really dedicated to editing and refining and refining and editing and then emailing it over to me on the other side of the room, and I would read it and give some edits. And so our lives kind of, our lives together revolved around his book quite a bit for about a year.
So I would think that could be kind of stressful for a marriage when one or both of the spouses are writing a book at the time.
I think we have a pretty healthy marriage, and we know how to prioritize things. And the book, Richard wanted to get it out in a timely fashion. The job market was changing so rapidly, and he wanted to be first out of the chute with what he had to say. So that wasn't too hard for me to give up time to him to do that. It became kind of a family project, too. We have one of our children is a very gifted writer, and she did a lot of edits grammatically for him in the book. And our daughter is a fine art student, and she designed the cover for the book. Sorry, Vanessa.
No, it's a great book cover. I think it's very cool.
So it became a family project, and
yeah.
in many ways added to our family rather than take away from it.
Well, just another way for your family to do things together. Like we were talking about mm-hmm. some of the gratitude exercises. This is a way to, you know, see your spouse be passionate about something. And you all do so much work together in Executive Impact anyway that I'm sure you had some good insights to add to the book as well.
Well, I think I probably, I didn't actually write any of it, but probably the parts in the beginning of the book where Richard talks about getting your mind right, getting your attitude straight, I probably had a lot of influence on those chapters. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think more of that is a lot of the rest of the book is just sort of, I describe it, it's sort of like a Boy Scout manual on how to figure out what you want to do, how to build a fire, how to pitch a tent, how to ford a stream. So it's very modularized into sections of things that people have to do to be successful. And the first part on the kind of the mental part of it, it was probably her biggest input.
So have you all thought at all about writing a book together, any kind of a joint project that you might do?
Nope.
I haven't thought about it yet.
Wow, that was fast.
That's right. Woo, no.
We have very different work styles. We really do.
A little bit of left brain, right brain kind of scenario.
Well, so together you have like a whole brain.
Exactly.
So that's handy.
Actually, we have talked in the past about a business model, about a life gem that would be kind of a whole brain thing since we're each kind of half-brained.
Uh-huh.
So mm-hmm. we haven't really plotted it out, but we've talked about it.
There is a book that has that a guy wrote. I don't want to plug his book too much. He's already making multi-million, so let him. He doesn't need my help. But there was a book that was written where the left side was written sort of like a novel, and the right side was written like a how-to manual. And it was the same information, only from the left or right brain sort of thing.
That's a neat idea.
That sort of a model would probably be the only thing that would work well for us. So we could basically work in our own modalities, as she says.
Well, I could definitely see that, you know, being a cool book for the two of you all to do together and talk about, you know, that whole brain kind of balancing your life from a whole brain perspective.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, but I think people don't recognize that. You know, they really, or many people don't sit back and recognize how, if you're not happy in your career, how that affects your personal life. Mm-hmm. If you're having challenges in your personal life, how that affects your attitude and your, maybe not your daily performance on your job, but how you're perceived and things like that by your bosses and peers. So there's a huge interaction between the two, and I guess that's the strength of what we're trying to bring together.
Well, and I think that any time that you're a married couple, that you celebrate each other's peak experiences. So I'd like for each of you to describe what you felt like was a peak experience of your book and what that felt like for you.
Oh, for me, it was, I think I had two peak experiences. When Richard said, "This is it," and hit the send button to the printer publisher, that was a big moment.
For his book.
For his book.
Yeah.
That I felt really excited by that. And when we had an opening autograph celebration at our offices for his book, that was a peak experience for me. I really celebrate his successes and had a blast planning his party and inviting people and welcoming people to our offices and watching him enjoy the moment, because it had been a year of really nose to the grindstone work for him.
Longer than making a baby.
Well, longer than making a baby. Well, longer than making a baby, but I will have to say not as physically painful.
But definitely kind of a birthing process of getting this book out and getting it out into the world. So what about you, Richard? What have been some peak experiences for either your book or Robin's book?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, because the three of you were working together, I do feel like I had a different experience from my side with her book, and that you three were sort of sharing this all together. And, you know, I was the fourth wheel or the fifth wheel in that process. So, you know, I think y'all had a lot of, what I saw was y'all had a lot of celebration and enjoyment and things from it. That, you know, I don't feel left out, but it's just I wasn't in the center of what all was going on.
You weren't part of the Gratitude Girl Club. So.
Exactly.
You were the gratitude. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't think of anything that stands right out for me. Like, you know, y'all didn't have a maybe Robin. What am I missing here?
Well, a peak moment for me with our book, Vanessa, was our first gratitude party.
Yeah,
I just that people came and they appreciated what we did, and we really had just a grand time doing some of the exercises, doing meditations with people. It was a wonderful, wonderful day.
It was. And we've done several of those, and it's always fun to get people together and talk about gratitude and figure out, you know, how that's impacting their lives. So that's cool. So what about a peak experience for your book, Richard?
A peak experience that gave me a feeling of confidence about the book was I met a gentleman who spoke to a big organization here in town, and he had a book. And I had just published my book, and I went up to his table afterward, and I bought his book, and I told him I really did like what he had to say, and that I'd like to send him a copy of my book. And he had a big publishing deal with Penguin Books, I think it was, in New York. And so I sent him a copy of my book, and he had a daughter that was maybe 20 or 21 and in college and trying to figure out what she was going to do in her career. Now, he wrote a career book. It was very different. It wasn't the how-to like mine. But anyway, so his daughter had helped him edit and write to some extent his book that he had out. And he gave my book to his daughter, and his daughter came back to him and said, "Dad, his book is a lot more useful and helpful than yours is." That was number one. And as a result of his daughter's telling him that, he came back to me and he said, you know, if you ever want a partner in this book, I might be willing to get behind it and help support you with it and things,
wow.
which was very positive
wow,
for me.
Great.
I've never actually taken him up on that, but that's in the back of my mind, which I may do one day.
Well, and it's always great when you can be recognized by people you feel like are your peers mm-hmm. in business, too, that it does validate what you have to say.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I have a quick, funny story about Richard's book, too.
Yeah?
We have a neighbor that we didn't know very well, who was out of work. And our neighbor who lives next door to them, who is a very good friend of ours, was talking to him one day about his being out of work. And he said to this man, you know, you ought to go talk to Richard Kirby. And he said, Richard Kirby, oh my gosh, I heard him speak the other day. I love that guy. I read his book. I got my, you know, I really think I'm onto something with his book. It's really helping me in my job search. And my friend, who is the neighbor, said, well, that's his driveway. Lives right there.
Right. We were within a block of each other and had never really met and didn't know each other.
That's exciting.
So he actually did a video testimonial for me. We really could never get it together, so cool. I just said, come over sometime. So our garage door is painted white, so I just said, okay, get up my flip cam. Stand in front of my garage door. I'll shoot your testimonial. So Atlanta Radio X is, wow, I mean, you guys are first class, you know. If you had me standing in front of a garage door, that would meet my minimum requirement.
That's a great story. It's always great to impact people's lives, and especially when you hear those kind of stories back from folks. And I know mm-hmm. we had a story similar to that with Days of Gratitude, that some friends of yours, one of your friends was talking to somebody and talking about, you should
yeah.
tell that story, because I know I can't remember the exact way that happened.
So I have a friend who was in the throes of a very painful part of her life, and she lives in South Florida. And her best friend in South Florida said to her, you know, you really ought to get this book, Days of Gratitude, and friend them on Facebook. And she said, Days of Gratitude? Well, that's my friend Robin's book.
It is amazing what a small world it is. So, well, and we've had people download our book from all over the world, which, again, is that small world. You know, we're so connected now, but people from Malaysia and Croatia and Spain and
all
Thailand.
Over the place, Australia. We were around the world in, what was it, 3 days?
Yeah, just a few days. We had downloads from all over the world. Yeah,
it was amazing.
Very cool. Yeah. So, Stone, do you have any other questions?
Well, is there a next book? It sounds like the two of you may or may not work together anytime soon on a book, but is there a next book for either of you on the horizon right now, or a next big project that you're willing to share with us at this point?
I've been talking about doing a book specifically geared toward children and teenagers surrounding gratitude. And Vanessa and I may or may not work on that together.
Yeah.
But that's the possibility for me. I have a real passion for kids and teens.
I think that would be great.
Well, I want to go multimedia. So besides taking this book to an ebook downloadable format, which I've had several requests for and just haven't gotten around to, did you ever see, what is it, Private Parts and, you know, King of All Media or whatever it is? Anyway, Howard Stern. You know, maybe I emulate him in some ways.
In
So what I'm thinking is, you know, words are nice if you can sit down and be patient and really read them and absorb them and apply them. But we have a very visual society. So I think how I could impact people better, faster, and more efficiently would be the next thing I'm thinking about is a video that has excerpts from client mock interviews that would coach people through an interview process. And if you saw somebody doing something wrong and then heard an explanation of it and you see it and then you understand it, I think that would be a lot more powerful than trying to describe that and read it in a book. So I'm looking to go with some videos supporting some of the key modules of what people need to know.
Cool.
That's a great idea. Thank you all so much for being on the show today, and people can find out more about Robin at lovingimpact.com. And they can find out more about Richard at executive-impact.com.
Great.
So we're really happy that both of you were on the show. Tim asked me to remind the listeners that right here, right now, the listeners are right here, right now, that he welcomes any suggestions and comments about the show. You can actually email him at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. So WHWN, of course, is the first letter of right here, right now. WHWNBusinessRadioX@gmail.com. And Stone, the clock is on us, so I just want to thank Stone for co-hosting and keeping me on track today, and to our two great guests today, Richard and Robin Kirby. Thank you to the listeners for joining us on Right Here, Right Now. We broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at www.businessradiox.com, and the MP3 version is available for download later this afternoon. I'm the guest host, Vanessa Lowry, setting in today for Tim Morrison, who's out doing all kinds of cool stuff this week. He's the regular host of Right Here, Right Now. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right here, right now.